is the board, Newcastle County Council Boards and Commissions Subcommittee meeting. I'm Councilwoman Diller. I'm co-chair with my colleague, Councilman Bob Weiner. We have present today Councilwoman Kilpatrick, Councilman Bell, Councilman Smiley, Councilman Hollins, and hopefully, you know, we will have other members joining us, and my aide, Sue Moore, who was taking the minutes. So, we don't have enough for a quorum, so if we are open, however, to any corrections or additions for the June 19th minutes, if there are any concerns. If not, we'll just move on, and the next time we have a quorum, we will go ahead and approve those. Now, the first of council appointments, this is a reappointment to the Board of Assessment for Review, Mr. Dominic Perante, and he is Councilman Wood's constituent, and his legislative aide, Ms. Chrissy Roberts, is here to speak to the reappointment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of council, Councilman Woods apologizes, he's running behind today. He did want me to state that the councilman is in full support of Mr. Perani, and he has been an asset to the board. So the reappointment, he agrees with the reappointment.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions? Any other comments? Yes, Mr. Weiner.
Yes. Could we, is Mr. Perani here?
No, he is not, because he's a reappointment.
Okay.
So.
No.
Okay. Very good. And we have an executive appointment to the Financial Advisory Committee, and we have here Mr. Abagunde. Mr. Abagunde, would you like to come and join one of the many seats? And
Thank you.
And I don't know if we have any comments from the executive branch, or we want to go right into the interview. Okay. We want to thank you for coming this afternoon. We thank you for your willingness to serve. And what we usually do is you make a statement, and then we'll have people, if they have any questions, be able to ask you them. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. My name is Kayode. I'm originally from Nigeria. I came to the state about almost 12 years ago. While in this particular state, my first degree was an accountant. I read accountant. I've worked as an accountant for several years, over 10 years in accounting. I work as an auditor. And currently, I work with Keystone Human Services as a program director, which I manage the operations budget. And of course, I review the data and the payroll of my employees. While I was within my ability and what I've done so far, I went to school in this particular country, in this state, so to speak. My first master's, I had it in Wilmington University, MBA in finance, and I went back with healthcare administration. So I had another master in that. And currently, my PhD is in public service and human service leadership. So at Capella University. So my interest in accounting for the years that I've been, is something that I developed interest on. And of course, being part of several boards, like Charter School of Newcastle, I've been in the board for over 5 years while my children are there, during the time that they were having problems of misappropriation of funds with past leaders. So I was part of those that came in afterwards to review their financial record and ensure we advise accordingly. So I've been doing this, and it's not something, because we need to project what the future finance is going to look like. So is there any things that we can, you know, work on, perhaps as regard expenditures, that will give us to make a greater decision on the financial stand of the county, so to speak. So looking at the figures, I've gotten to realize that some mistakes might not be intentional. But again, if we have different oversight that will look into it, we may be able to give an idea that, why can't we look at this revenue? Do we think it's appropriate for our projection? Do we think these expenditures are accurate? Or do we think we really want to go in that direction. So we all come together as a council members and we review it. We look at what the, I want to believe there will be a financial accountant or the county accountant. They will have done a lot of work. But our job is to present them, to review, and to give advice based on what is presented, and to even do more, better job by saying, what if we look at ABC? Could that be something we want to consider? Or what have we done in the past 5 years? Has it worked? You need to look at the future, and you need to look at what has been in existence before your arrival as part of audit, as part of finance committee member. So these are the things that with the wealth of knowledge and experiences that I've gathered, both home and abroad, that I've come here to present my case and to ensure that county's books will be reviewed and advised to the members or to the boards according to what the stipulated accounting principles will encourage. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes. And your diligence and your enthusiasm is greatly, we greatly appreciate that. And I will, I don't have questions, but I will open it up to my fellow council members. I'm going to start with Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I'm very pleased to be the district sponsor of the county executive's appointment to the Financial Advisory Board. And I think that in you reviewing your background and everything, it certainly speaks for itself. You have an extensive background in financial services, community services, and I sincerely think that good appointment on the part of the administration, and I think you'll bring a lot to the Financial Advisory Board, and I welcome you and thank you for your interest.
Thank you, Tissa.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you. Again, I want to thank you for volunteering for this board. This is something that we have tried to put into place over several years and finally got it up and almost running, and I appreciate your willingness to do this, and I also am happy with the presentation that I heard and the understanding, and this is pretty much the direction that I envisioned going when this piece of legislation came before council, that we have NCFAC, which is not like the state of Delaware DFAC, so we're missing the component that you have just talked about, and I think that it will do well for this county to have this board in place and people such as yourself on that board with a knowledge base in finance. So thank you.
And we've been joined by Councilman Sheldon.
Motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Any further questions? Mr. Weiner.
Thank you, Co-Chair.
My name is Councilman Bob Weiner. I'm Co-Chair of the committee. I just want to say we're very proud that you already have the commitment and insight that we are looking for.
Thank you.
And I would urge you, as I do all boards and commission members, to ask, even demand, to have continuing legal education for both the case law and the ordinances which apply, and ask to see what are the rules of procedure that apply to your board, and ask to see what is the case law that applies to your board, and encourage other board members to do the same. And I believe that you will be put on to the consent calendar, Madam Co-Chair.
Yes, this will be voted on next Tuesday. You do not have to be present, but it will be voted on at the regular council meeting.
All right, thank
so,
you so much.
Thank you for coming, and we wish you luck, and I'm sure you will be an asset to the board. Thanks very much. And you don't have to stay.
Thank you so much. Thank you, guys.
Take care. All right. Both Mr. Abagundes and Mr. Perante's resolutions will be on the calendar next week for everybody's information. In terms of upcoming filling of vacancies, I know that Sue has produced the complex and colorful chart.
Do you want to give me two and I'll just pass them down?
And I'll just turn, since about 75% of these appointments, and we've just been joined by Councilman Tackett, are from the executive side, I'll just ask, do you folks anticipate any upcoming appointments? Our next meeting, of course, won't be actually until probably September, so...
Brian Boyle with the executive office.
Here's the summer going.
We currently have two vacancies on the NICFAC. And so we're happy to find a qualified nominee, and hopefully he'll go through.
Okay.
That is, the additional vacancy that remains cannot be occupied by a Democrat.
Okay.
Because of the rules around partisanship. So we are looking to fill that additional vacancy that remains. Another priority for us is the planning board, which we're looking for chair. We're looking for a very qualified individual
yes.
for that position.
Thank you. So we do have some time. I would say if there were any appointments that moved quickly, Mr. Smiley, I would say it would be appropriate if they find people to fill these appointments. Could we just handle this with finance in order to here, Councilman Tackett, you can have this one.
Absolutely.
That would be probably an expeditious way to handle it, is just to put it in finance so we don't have to have a boards and commissions meeting right as we come back. So we'll just keep this moving. So are there any other questions or comments regarding vacancies? Yes, Mr. Weiner.
Yes, as far as our boards, I'm just looking at this now like everyone else. Are there any challenges that we need, any boards that are having tough time getting quorum, if Brian Boyle knows or other?
Sure. Brian Boyle with the executive office. In recent, and at least like the last month or two, I'm not aware of any boards. I know previously we did have a few that were, barely had the quorum, and we were able to fill some vacancies for our cooperation. So I'm not aware of any recently. I do try to stay in touch with the board chairs and or the staff, and they usually let me know when they've had an issue with quorum or getting close to it.
And just a follow-up question. We're working towards a goal of having more digital data posted on each of the board's commission's pages. Any update or status report on that?
We have been updating the membership, and we are working towards, Councilman, I know you had an interest in recording the meetings, so we did talk with Mike Konicki.
Audio recording.
About audio recording some of the boards and commissions.
Yeah.
There was an expensive option, which we said, I don't think we want to spend that. I think he said he was able to do it for about $5,000, so we'll be working with you to create maybe an ordinance that would require that for specific boards, and we'd probably do similar audio recording to what county council does.
And that $5,000 would be allocated from the existing funds?
Yes, I believe the Department of Administration has funds available to use for that.
And it's basically the same simple system we
similar,
have here.
Yeah, similar tabletop system. So it's something that we'd like to implement over the coming months.
And it would be just like an on-demand, like we have here for audio. So it would be for, we're taking a baby step. Just on-demand audio for the four major, I don't know if major is the right word, boards that get appealed. And so the constituents that say that we're not transparent, they, we're going to address that. And our sister governments in Wilmington, Sussex, Kent, and State of Delaware do that or more, but this will be a comfortable first baby step for us to take on-demand audio. Yes, I'm sorry.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Yes, Mr.
Yeah,
Smiley.
My thing would be, I don't know what the executive branch is planning, but if we're going to be fiscally responsible and make this work, then they need to have a set location, a set setup that is going to be available where each committee is told, this is where you will meet. because this is where the service is going to be provided. Either you're going to be the Gilliam Building, either you're going to be the Executive Office, either you're going to be the Community Services Meeting Room where the Library Advisory Board meets. There needs to be a location for them to meet that will naturally figure which committee would normally possibly have the largest attendance and base it on that. But all of my concerns, I know they bounce around. One time somebody's meeting here, then they're meeting there, then they're meeting there. You know, needless to say, those that have been to the Red Room, you know, that's out of the mix because there isn't enough room there. There's hardly enough room for the Ethics Commission when they would meet there. But all I'm saying is, I don't have a problem. I agree with what you're saying. I just think they need to make sure when they do it, with all the cutting and subdividing that looks like a residential community way, that building keeps being subdivided over there, but they need to have one of those rooms that's designated. It's always all I'm trying to say.
If I may respond. Do that.
Yes, Mr.
To make it work efficiently.
Thank you. And I agree in my discussion with Mike Kozicki and with Brian Boyle, the thought was to our rooms that would be covered by the $5,000 would be the Newcastle Room and the Gilliam Building, where the four major boards that get appeals come from, or meet.
So we're talking two rooms.
Two rooms, correct.
$5,000 covers both.
That's my understanding.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. You don't have it in writing coming yet?
No.
Can we get it right?
We'll work to the councilman again.
Okay, that's my concern, that's all.
Mr. Tackett.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, very valid point. I think consistency is a good thing, and to have everybody, you know, kind of centrally located will also have consistency with the constituents and the public we serve. So, Brian, quickly, question for you. I know law says that even though they're appointed for a term, even though the terms have expired, they still will continue to serve legally. Is there a reason why, like, basically there's so many expired terms and you're not moving to get them over?
Brian Boyle, we just have not moved fast enough. We've had a few reappointments that have come before council, but we have not had, our focus has been on filling vacancies first because we felt like with the quorum issues that we had previously had, that was our priority. We've started since to bring a few reappointments, but we still do have a backlog of reappointments. And as you indicated, it's less of an emergency because they are able to still serve, but we do want to reappoint those individuals. So it's just a matter of having the time to bring them in, to interview them, make sure they're still a good fit, and then reappoint them.
Okay.
So which is why we have July and August recess. Perfect time to be doing that sort of thing. Yes, Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Sort of one exception to the rule is our Fire and Ambulance Advisory Board, and it's kind of a unique board. You have one representative appointed from each of the three fire departments. So there's 21 volunteer fire departments in the county, and you divide it by three fire companies, so you come up with seven individual district representatives. And what they've done in the past is they rotate their meetings through all the fire departments so that it gives everyone in the area, the other fire departments that are representative, the opportunity to attend. They do record their meetings, provide minutes, and typically their hearings are dealing with the day-to-day operations, funding, and also you know, some of the different grants and things that come available. So I just mentioned that it's worked very well for them, and if you know, I think if it's working and everything, probably just, you know, leave that one alone.
Thank you. Mr. Smiley, then Mr. Weiner.
And Councilman Bill, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't see where there's an issue there. I think that's the one board that we have listed on the boards and commissions that doesn't actually conduct county government business. It's they conduct more of the police advisory, but we're a part of it. So I can see where that would be beneficial to them, because it's, like I said, it's not actually county government business. unlike all of the other boards and commissions that are unique.
And they directly serve as a liaison between the Volunteer Fire Rescue and Emergency Medical Services to the county government. So, you know, the administration makes the final appointments based on recommendations from each of the seven districts and everything. But as Councilman Smiley said, it's typically dealing with operational issues, communications issues, things, standard operating procedures, things of that nature.
Thank you. Mr. Weiner.
Thank you. First thought that comes to mind, would they want to have, for the benefit of their members or the public, on demand the audio, because we'll have that capacity put on so that folks could go click on that fire board and listen to what happened at the hearing?
I think we could certainly, you know, take it back to the next board meeting and everything. I don't think they would be against any enhancements or things that would be made available that would, you know, that would support their operations and things. So, but, you know, we can go back and mention that this is, you know, what the county is looking at and everything. So I don't think that they would object to that at all.
Thank you. And I did want to note, in follow-up to Councilman Smiley, that we have one of those other boards that does have a floating meeting, and that's the Ethics Commission. You know, I don't really have a dog in that fight. So, they, because of their members and they're trying to reach out to different constituents, this is what they say, that they meet both here centrally and then they like go around the county and have their meetings elsewhere. So they really wouldn't be able to use this recording device unless, you know, ours is portable, that they would take it with them. Don't have a strong feeling one way or the other about
it. Mr. Smiley.
But they do pocket record their meetings. So okay. They can transfer that over to the system.
Yes.
And put it out there so it's still, they can still work the way they want. But I guess
send the file.
All you need is a smartphone these days, and you're in the business.
That's what they have, one little small ones, whatever, that they record with. And since that's not minutes, it's a recording, there's no time-lapse time required for them to approve it. So they could be downloaded as quickly as the others are and transferred over.
Yeah, I just think, and I think we all agree, that in this day and age, constituents expect to be able, if they can't get to the meeting, at least to be able to hear what went on.
Because you never know what I'll say.
Yeah, you never know what they'll say.
No, me.
Or what you'll say.
For me?
Okay, so I think we have finished that discussion. So moving on to the discussion regarding the right of Newcastle County Council, Newcastle County, to appeal a decision of the Newcastle County Board of Assessment Review. I think when we had that discussion last week, the decision was to sort of resurrect what was SB 82, which was introduced in 2011. I think at that point, Senator Henry introduced it, to have both council to council and the law office review SB that legislation and see if we want to update it, and then try again to have legislative action by the General Assembly on that type of legislation. Am I summing that up properly? Yes, Mr. Weiner.
Yes, Co-Chair. And we should say, for the benefit of the record, that you and I and Councilwoman Kilpatrick joined us for a meeting with the administration and one of the assessment review board members, at which time we all reached that same consensus, consistent with what we had all thought around the table here in our last meeting.
And we'll keep you up to date as that discussion progresses. Yes, Mr. Tackett.
Madam Chair, I'd just say we're on a roll. I'd suggest getting it drafted and then get it over to Councilman Smiley, and I'll let him get it passed. He's got a pretty good track record.
Mr. Smiley.
My suggestion would be, not to give it to me, but my suggestion would be get the revised legislation drafted, have it ready, hold it until after these elections are done.
Far too many
state candidates are now out there running on county issues.
Yep.
I have no idea what they're talking about. And they're using anything they can to try to get a foothold. So I think we need to hold, but we get it ready. Once the elections are determined, let's do a fresh resolution through council supporting it.
Right.
And have someone who have, let's have one of the tenured members of the state legislature take it forward for us. I think that would be the best timetable for us to have a big change, because if it gets muddied before they even get in, we're done.
Right. I mean, one thing we had discussed is that this might be something that would be of interest to Senator Sekola, who would certainly be experienced in terms of legislation. So, yes, I think your timeline makes a lot of sense. Mr. Weiner.
Yes, thank you. And just to follow up, because I think we're all thinking the same way, we had collectively passed our council to council to begin drafting legislation, which he was then tasked to share with our law department, because we want this to be a partnership between our executive and legislative branch. And with that in mind, I'd like to ask our council to council to let us know how that's going, if he's had a chance to start on it.
Mike Migliore, I've already drafted the legislation, so I will provide a draft to the co-chairs here. And then once we agree upon the language, then we'll send it over to the law department. And if they have any comments, we can proceed from there. As far as Councilman Smiley's suggestion, having come from there, I couldn't agree anymore. It doesn't make sense to start working with someone who may or may not be there come the second week of November.
Thank you. Okay. Member compensation, any updates from your end? Mr. Weiner.
Yeah, I would just like to say that I think, like we do with some of the other agendas, like with finance, we have just items on that are there, even if there's nothing current. It keeps it in mind for when we move forward, and we've talked about doing this with the 2019 budget year, so that it's consistent with other non-union increases, so that we're keeping organized and financially inclusive.
Okay. All right, and then just a comment that there is an outside appraiser under contract for the Board of Assessment Review. I don't think anything.
Brian Wolf, the executive office. There is an outside appraiser under contract for the Department of Finance.
Right, okay. Right, yes.
The idea of an outside appraiser was brought up at the meeting that Councilman Weiner talked about, and I think the attorneys had some concerns about. That board hired.
They were going to look at it.
Right.
But I think there were some concerns that they had raised. Mm-hmm.
But the finance department has someone who works
correct.
With them
who
on
who they
that.
Have
yes.
in the past used, but not very often.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. All right. Is there anything under other public comment? May we have a motion?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. So I would say...